I was in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, spending a couple of weeks teaching the Bible to the missionaries at their base camp at Ukurampa. One afternoon, one of the high school teachers came to see me. She was from Texas, and her Christian understanding was that of a premillennial dispensationalist. She found herself deeply troubled by my expositions of the Psalms. My talks had connected the dots of the Bible in a way that was completely different from anything she had heard before. So, over a pot of tea, we sat down with our Bibles open to listen to each other's understanding of God's Word. It was one of the most pleasant and challenging interchanges I've ever had. We both loved the Lord Jesus, both loved the Scriptures, and both were seeking to understand in order to be obedient, and yet we disagreed. And we didn't disagree about one or two things, but about verse after verse. She would say, "But it doesn't mean that." And then I'd reply, "But it doesn't mean what you're saying." I found it astonishing that she was unimpressed by my proof texts. I was even more astonished to find myself appreciating the alternative meaning she gave them. I had read about dispensationalism and had even read some dispensational literature, but I'd never before had a face-to-face discussion with somebody who held these views. For her part, she had never heard a Bible teacher who was not dispensationalist. For her, all people who professed any other position were by definition theological liberals and therefore unbelievers. But here was this Australian who obviously believed the Bible every bit as much as she did, but who was anything but a dispensationalist. It was a long and, in many ways, arduous conversation. We struggled with what each text was saying because we both wanted to know the truth. What the Bible meant mattered to us more than what we believed it meant. We tried to see what the Scriptures were teaching in their context, not just as proof texts to support our preferred system. What made the whole conversation so enjoyable and encouraging was that we were both genuinely listening in order to understand each other, but ultimately to understand what the Bible was actually saying. It was not a debating match, scoring points and claiming victories, but a serious exploration of the meaning of the Scripture, text by text. By God's grace, we managed to talk together like the noble Bereans who received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. My hope and prayer is that this book is for you as that conversation in Ukurampa was for me. I pray that it will be encouraging and invigorating, even though it may be challenging and uncomfortable at some points. It will be longish and arduous. Searching and inquiring carefully into what the Bible is saying takes real work, and it will be the main work that this book seeks to do. What's in this book? This book is written for Bible believers, whatever our history and background in the controversies that have divided us, to help us know what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit. The aim is to find what God Himself says about the coming and work of the Spirit of Jesus. To accomplish this task, we must listen to the Spirit by prayerfully and obediently studying the words of Scripture. For the Scriptures are the words of the Holy Spirit. As I've already hinted, we must not begin with present disagreements or controversies. We need to listen as the Spirit Himself speaks, not as we want Him to answer our questions. And we must lay to one side not simply our disagreements, but also our experiences and current practices, lest we seek to justify ourselves with biblical references rather than to understand our experiences and conform our practices to the Spirit's teaching. My plan, then, is to work carefully and systematically through what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit.